ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 18, Text Number 4. Tan atitish tanti yak samyag upayan purva darshitan avarakshadhyo peta upayan vindatenjasa Tan atitishtanti yak samyag upayan purvadarshitan avarakshad shraddhayo peta upayan vindatain jasa. Tan, those. Atishati follows. Ya, one who. Samyak, completely. Upayan, principles. Purva, formerly. Adarshitan, instructed. Avaraha, inexperienced. Shraddhaya, with faith. Upetaha, being situated. Upayan, the fruits of activities. Vindate, enjoys. Anjasa, very easily. Translation, one who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedic principles Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta urge us to follow in the footsteps of great liberated souls. In this way we can receive benefit in both this life and the next, and we can also improve our material life. By following the principles laid down by great sages and saints of the past, we can very easily understand the aim of all life. The word avara, third line, meaning, quote, inexperienced, is very significant in this verse. Every conditioned soul is inexperienced. Everyone is abhodha jata, born a fool and rascal in democratic government. At the present moment, all kinds of fools and rascals are making decisions, but what can they do? What is the result of their legislation? They enact something today just to whimsically repeal it tomorrow. One political party utilizes a country for one purpose, and the next moment, another political party forms a different type of government and nullifies all the laws and regulations. This process of chewing the chewed, punak punash charvata charvananam, will never make human society happy. In order to make all human society happy and prosperous, We should accept the standard methods given by liberated persons. End of purport. Tan atish hanti atish hati yak samyag upayan purva darshita avarakshadayopeta upayan vindatain jasa. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. So this is Prithu Maharaj milks the earth planet. This is a dialogue between an incarnation of the Supreme Lord and earth personified. This is high level discussion. And Prithu Maharaj is in a unhappy mood, angry mood. And he's particularly angry at Mother Earth, and so he's getting heavy with her. He's chastising her severely. And she's made some explanation of his concern is that Earth is restricting, and the king, Prithu Maharaj, wants to see his citizens supplied their necessities, and they're not getting their necessities, and so he's letting her have it. And she's explaining, well, wait a minute, just before you became king, there was this other king, and this other king was nasty, and he stopped all sacrifices, and in that condition of stopping sacrifices, I restricted the supply. That's the law of nature. I'm just complying with the law of nature. And he wasn't pacified. So she took courage, and she's now speaking again. And her speaking again is invoking his higher nature above his angry disposition. And it's a lila. He's the personality of God, and he doesn't become controlled by anger. A transcendentalist, what to speak of the personality of Godhead, doesn't become controlled by anger, although they may utilize this or that or the other thing, including anger, for some purpose. They're not controlled by it. And so, knowing that, she's appealing to his higher nature, and that's verse is the beginning of that appeal. And the appeal is tan ati atish hati yak samyag. Atish hati is following what? Upayan, principles of purva darshitan, those who are experienced persons who have darshita, they have experienced and they have then shared their experience, so that the Mahajano Yena Kata Sampad verse applies. Perfected souls, liberated souls who have given wisdom. So she's saying, let's pay attention to what the great sages, the Mahajans, have said. And if we follow what the Mahajans say, that's the path of liberation. And in the path of liberation, the soul's journey is evolved to its perfectional stage. And in between, the thing that you're concerned about, that the citizens have their necessities, that will be taken care of too. Prabhupada chooses to emphasize, there's 3 points in his purport. This one that's just been mentioned, the path that one should choose to follow should be the path of the perfected souls. And whatever someone may say, oh, that's ancient. That doesn't apply today. Today's modern. We have to use a different set of principles. And Mother Earth is saying, no, you don't need a different set of principles. You need the same set of principles. And in the purport, if people don't know what those principles are and just make up their own, it's useless. Make up your own, and then another group of people make up their own to throw out the previous ones, and so on. None of them hit the market, the target, or hit the mark, and the people are continuously dissatisfied, so they want another set of principles, another leaders that make another set of principles, and call it democracy. And nobody's satisfied. The followers aren't satisfied, the leaders aren't satisfied, Mother Earth isn't satisfied, and the personality of Godhead isn't satisfied. So it's like a lose program. So follow the liberated souls. And who is eligible? Anyone. This word, he points out, is avara. Avara means the inexperienced. So there's the experienced, the purvadarshitaha, and there's the avara. So we're in that category, the inexperienced. A conditioned soul is inexperienced. Just something, sharing something from yesterday evening at IIT. After the program was over, one student came up afterwards and said, this is my first program, and it provoked some thoughts. Here I'd like to share some thoughts. When in life there are things that seem to be duty and other things that seem to be duty, and it's hard to select duty and duty, like, and sometimes even conflicting. If you do one, you can't do the other, or which one takes precedence, because there may be some overlap or maybe some conflict or maybe like mutually exclusive. He didn't elaborate like that, but how do you decide? So Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta, that phrase comes from, and I shared this with the young man, and he smiled because he knew, in the Mahabharata, where the Pandavas are overcome with thirst. They're sojourning, and so they find a place that has a lake. But as one by one, as they approach the lake, a voice comes from the lake, don't take the water until you answer my questions. Well, we're the Pandavas. We're going to take water. And they took water and they passed out or died. And then the next one came and saw that and heard the voice and took water. And so the last one left was Yudhisthira. He came and he heard the voice and he said, I'll answer your questions. And from the lake came Yaksha are followers of Kuvera, but he wasn't a Yaksha, it was his father, Yamaraj, who had disguised himself as a Yaksha and asked him some very challenging questions just to test the Dharma of his son. And he got an A in his exam. Surprise quiz, and he flying colors, he passed. One of the questions was the same question this fellow asked last night. That is, there's conflicting principles to be followed, and how do you decide? It's sometimes very difficult to decide. What principle do you use to decide? It was preceded by other things that are related to principles of Dharma and making decisions, because life is making decisions. And it depends on how we, what choices we make, what the fruit of our life will be, spiritual or even material. So Yudhisthira Maharaj says to the Yaksha, you're right, It's very difficult. Sometimes it's seemingly impossible. And so what to do is you follow the example of the Mahajans, or whatever they do. You do that. So I shared that with this young man, and he said, he gave the yeah, but. Yeah, but, you know, we're all individual. And what may work for Yudhishthir may not work for Bhishma Dev. One may not work for Bhishma Dev, may not work for me, may not work for the next person. We're all individual. That's true. They're all individual. We are all individual. At the same time, and not only that, as he said, you know, I'm inexperienced. I don't know. I know I should make the right decisions, but I don't know what the right decisions are. So because we're individual, therefore we need someone that can guide us how to apply the principles. Teacher. Like, that's pretty elementary. And in the Vedic system, there are such, besides Mahajans, so there's sadhu, but there's also guru, and there's also shastra, and they should align with one another. We need someone to guide us, who understands our nature, our individuality. It's expressed over and over again in Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's purports, maybe 20 plus times. Necessity, maybe more than, way more than that. Necessity of, because the teacher or the guide or the spiritual master or the whatever the title, it needs to know the nature, the individuality, the uniqueness of the person. There are some principles that are just overriding and they're not compromised, like, you know, chant Hare Krishna or call upon Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. So that's like, it doesn't matter. Chant the holy name. But then there's application of, you know, the yabats. You know, I have my individuality and something, something. What do I do? While we have individuality, it doesn't change principles. And principles are not to be adjusted according to individuality. In nectar devotion, there is this distinction made by Rupa Goswami, and Prabhupada speaks of it in this way. There are principles and there are details. And he gives us an example. So what's presented in nectar devotion is principles. And then there's details of how those principles might be applied. He gives us an example. There's a principle, one must have a spiritual master. The detail is, a spiritual master may engage one disciple this way, another disciple in that way. And so this disciple, that disciple may compare notes and say, hey, I was engaged this way. Well, wait a minute, I was engaged that way. What's going on? But, you know, it's the principle is one must take direction, and the direction-giving person must know the nature of both. That's discussed in the 9th chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, where Bhishma Dev is instructing Yudhishthir about the duties of a king. And the duties of a king is to engage people according to their nature. So there has to be some capacity to recognize what's somebody's nature. And if you don't have that capacity, then you can't be a good teacher or a good king or administrator. And understanding someone's nature, it may be that someone is engaged in a way that they think it's against their nature. But, you know, then there's like a challenge or a test of faith when the teacher or the administrator is saying, here's some service for you. And they're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's not my nature. Just ask me. I'll tell you what my nature is. I don't like it. That tells you it's not my nature. But there may be for some purpose of purification and so many other reasons. So the relationship between the faith and trust in the teacher and the administrator are very important. And that's the whole topic, how that faith is established by practical experience, largely, and by hearing, both. And therefore, this next word, avara, shraddha, with faith. Avara, shraddha, upetaha. Upetaha is being situated. Shraddhayopeta, avara shraddhayopeta. Even inexperienced persons, if they're situated in faith, in a faithful way of receiving from the Mahajans and those that are guiding the principles of how the Mahajans' example is to be applied in an individual's case, then upayan vindatain jasa. Upayan vindatain jasa. Literally, it means upayan, the fruits of activities, vindate, enjoys, anjasa, very easily. Now, this Bhagavatam isn't encouraging just be a nice devotee and you can be an enjoyer of the fruits of your activities. Because go back earlier part of Bhagavad Gita, and that's a no-no. You don't try to be an enjoyer of the fruits of your activities. Then this is like, you know, a license to be an enjoyer of the fruits of your activities? No. Using the phrase of Prabhupada's translation of Rupa Goswami's verse, Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate, one becomes rightly situated above the mentality of possessiveness, rightly situated above the spirit of possessiveness. That's detachment. Even engaged in those activities that look like attachment or upayan vindantain jasa, because Prithu Maharaj wants his citizens to have their necessities. He's not interested in having them become sense gratifiers. He's interested in them having their necessities. As any father, guardian, administrator, king, or teacher will want those who are in their care to have their necessities. But in having their necessities, to not have their necessities exploited in the mood of sense gratification, because that's binding. Exploited in the mood of sense gratification, it's degrading. And therefore, Prabhupada refers, the very next part of his purport is abodha jata. It's a phrase that comes from Rishabhdev's teachings. It's a very nice verse, and I'm going to spend some time with that verse. 5.5.5. It's a good one to remember. Paralavastavat abodha jata yavannijigyasata atmatatvam. A little Sanskrit lesson this morning. Yavat and tavat. It's like cause and effect. When this condition exists, that condition exists. Yavat, tavat. And it's there twice in the verse. So, Rishabhdev does it in reverse. He puts the yavat second and the tavat first. Parabhavas tavat abodha jata. Abodha buddhi and abuddhi, like unintelligent or ignorant. And this is like spiritual ignorance, not just like, you know, knowing math and science and arithmetic and, you know, academic stuff. But spiritual, buddhi is spiritual intelligence. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Opiyanti Te. Intelligence, how to go to Krishna. That's real Buddhi. That's the intelligent person. And one is Abodha Jata. They're in an ignorant condition, or Jata, their condition is arising from ignorance. Paravat means miseries. Miseries that arise from the condition that arises from ignorance, or born of ignorance. That condition will exist. One will be in ignorance and will have miseries commensurate with ignorance if the cause is yavan na jigyasata atmatattvam, if one doesn't inquire about who am I? What's going on? What's the purpose of life? Where am I going? What's the goal? This is nice machine, material body, human form. Great. Zoom, zoom. Lots of horsepower. Lots of, can do lots of things. What's it for? Don't ask that question. Paravavastavat abhodajata. This is Rishabhdev's teaching to his sons and instructions for us. Don't inquire. Misery. Well, wait a minute. What if you're like smart or rich or like high birth or like, you know, cool or something? What about that? You know, it's filled with misery. Filled with misery. Just scratch the surface a little bit. It's misery. And when you scratch your surface, it smells. Your finger smells. It's the whole thing is foul. So Rishabhdev's advice is, don't make that mistake. Parabhavas tavad abho dajato naja yavan najigasata atmatatvam. And then he does another couplet, which is, then he starts with yavat first. Yavat kriyas. What's kriya? Activities. Specific. Fruitive activities. As long as one is engaged in fruitive activities, yavat kriyas tavat, there's the other in that couplet, yavat kriyas tavat, idam manovai karmatmakam, the mind becomes polluted. The term karmatmakam, polluted in a particular way, fruitive karmatmakam, fruitively colored. The image that comes to my mind is like the sky in Los Angeles. It's filled with pollution. You just like go to Los Angeles and you're coughing because it's smog everywhere. Because there's a big city producing all this smog, and then there's this nice little circle of mountains that keeps all of it. It doesn't like keep going. It just gets, the wind doesn't carry it, just like stays. And it's like Beijing is like that too. I mean, you can't see down the street because it's just smog. Very prosperous. Lots of development and money and lots of pollution, and it just hangs over the city. Smog. It's really... And it's like you really have to go far away, like outside of Beijing, until it's not smog. Just... It's almost like it's about to rain, only it's not rain, it's just smog. It's awful. So that's karmatmakam, that's what that term brings to mind. Like, air is nice, but fresh air? Like I was, you know, came from the plane, and you're riding in this plane that's just the same air circulated over and over again, and you get in the airport, the same air circulated over and over again. You get outside, you want fresh air, and roll the window down, it's Chicago fresh air. not as bad as Los Angeles and Beijing, but it's not pure, fresh. Anyway, karmatma comes, and the mind becomes like that, colored. Colored means whatever you see through that lens. Here's an opportunity to enjoy. Here's an opportunity to enjoy. Here's an opportunity to enjoy. Material facility. And guess what? Krishna gives the guess what? You suffer. Yehi sam sparshaja bhoga. Bhoga. We know that word in our Hare Krishna temples. It's what's not yet offered to Krishna. We call that bhoga. Yehi sam sparshaja bhoga. One who brings his senses to the object of the senses in the mood of enjoying that which is has not in, not been offered to Krishna, or it's not seen in relation to Krishna. Dukkha. Dukkha means suffering. Like, dukkha yonaya evate. That spirit of fruitive intention that the mind becomes colored with. Whatever you come in contact with, that's goes back to the same thing he said in the first part. Parabhavas, miseries. Tavat, it's the effect. Parabhavas tavat abhodha jata, arising out of ignorance. Our bodies arising out of ignorance. The so-called material intelligence arising out of ignorance. Parabhavas. Or dukkha, misery, suffering. What's the remedy? Atma tattva, jigyasa. Be inquisitive about what's real, what's eternal. Not, you know, not all this temporary enjoyment stuff. But as, when, so it inspires fruitive activity, yavat kriyas tavat. Idam mano vai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Very nice verse. One is bound to the very source of misery. And it's a tight knot. It's called false ego. Very tight knot. Ooh, try to undo that knot. You can't. You're helpless. Because you're using your false ego to undo the false ego. You can't. You require someone that doesn't have false ego. Or like the example Prabhupada gives, if there someone is bound with rope, they can say, hey, can you untie me? Sorry, I'm tied with rope. I'm tied up too. So how can a conditioned soul liberate a conditioned soul? The math doesn't work. It takes someone that's not tied up. Therefore, the necessity of this, what he's teaching is accepting. Rishabhdev is teaching the same thing that Bhumi is saying to Maharaj Parikshit, excuse me, to Prithu Maharaj. I'm going to read the translation. It's very nice for 5.5.5 Bhagavatam. As long as one does not inquire about spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its result in actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. Then, as long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. The cause of his bondage perpetuates more bondage. It's very clever. Maya is really got us. And once you're just as Krishna says, once in that cycle, how do you get out? You know, it's like apparently you're locked in. It's one of like one of those little puzzles that doesn't have a solution. You're like, follow the path and get yourself out of the maze, and there are blocks in every path you follow. Then you go back and try it again another way, and it's not like eventually, it's like Rubicon, eventually you can get it all matches up and you're out. It's not like that. Just be clever enough, try it enough times and you get out. Not like that. So, Earth, in the form of a cow, she's speaking to Prithu Maharaj, here's the path out, here's the remedy. Take this teaching of the ancient sages, apply it, put aside your anxiety about the citizens, because here's the path. The great sages, they've given it to us, we just have to take it and apply it. And when applying it, the benefit of the soul is achieved, and at the same time, this last line, Upayan Vindatain Jasa. And again, literally, Upayan, the fruits of activities, Vindate, one enjoys. Anjasa, very easily. But so, one who is immature and foolish may think, well, this is a good program. I can like have my cake and eat it too. I just like follow these like nice practices of devotional service and liberate the soul and like be a big time enjoyer in between where I am and where I'm going. No good. That being rightly situated above possessiveness is necessary, or is the outcome by recognizing Krishna is the enjoyer. That's the wisdom of the ancient sages. Just like in the first verse of Ishopanishad, Isavasham idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagatena tyaktena bunjita magridaha kasasvid magridaha. That the one doesn't become the enjoyer of that which is not meant for him, and that which is meant for him, it's utilizing that in service to the Supreme. That's what I need for my maintenance. My needs are met, and my needs are maintaining body and soul so I can serve Krishna. So she's going to carry on with more of what the sages say and how to apply what the sages say properly. Any discussion, questions?
Hare Krishna. I wanted to ask, is enjoyment and suffering actually the same thing?
Enjoyment and suffering are the same thing?
Yeah. What I mean is that what we call enjoyment is actually suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
That's correct.
In this sense, what we call enjoyment is senses contacting sense objects in the mood of wanting to be an enjoyer. That very act, whether it feels good or feels bad, whether I like it or don't like it, either way, it's binding. What's binding about it is the mood of being the enjoyer. So whether it's suffering or enjoyment, they're both binding. And that's what Rishabhdev says to his sons also, exactly what you said. Forgetfulness of God, that's miserable. Even it may, you know, look good, feel good, something. Just scratch the surface or wait a moment or two and it's misery. It's misery because it brings forgetfulness. It covers the consciousness, natural happiness of the soul. Real happiness Real happiness is having your cell phone ring in the middle of Bhagavatam class. Real happiness is something that doesn't end. That's what we want. That's real happiness. That which is here and then is gone. That's not real happiness. Happiness of the senses, engaging in sense objects, that's not happiness. It's misery, because it's forgetfulness of our real happiness, our loving relationship with Krishna.
I like what Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purports. He says, upon meeting a pure devotee, you are relieved of trying to enjoy. I read that in the Gita the other day. So you don't even have to enjoy, you know, once you meet the spiritual master.
Okay. Relieved of the hard struggle for material existence. Relieved of the hard struggle for material existence. Trying to enjoy is a hard struggle for material existence. Yeah, that's material existence.
Hi, Vishwanath. I wanted to know, how do we share this principle of the value and, practically speaking, absolute necessity of a leader or a spiritual master or someone who accepts dependence, knowing the nature of their dependence without disturbing the faith of people, and particularly in our institutional context where...
It so much depends on the audience. I mean, Prabhupada did it with Professor Katovsky by saying, there's no difference between you and me. You're accepting Lenin. And you live your life according to the teachings of Lenin. He's your teacher, you're following him. I'm also following someone. I'm following Krishna. Whatever Krishna says, that's my life and soul. There's no difference between you and me. We're both accepting some authority. I'm just choosing Krishna, and you're choosing Lenin. So then you, with such a person, you can take a look at, you know, what's the qualities of Lenin and where does that take you, and what's the qualities of Krishna, where does that take you? But it's natural that we're receiving. We have faith in someone. We have faith in some teacher or teaching. And teachings come from a teacher. So it's a principle. So that's not like challenging, threatening, intimidating. It's a principle. Now let's take a look at the teachings or the teacher. The teachings may look nice. Let's take a look at the character of the teacher. And so on. These are so like do a little comparison, compare and contrast, it's called in education.
A detail of my... So the teacher looks nice, and the teachings are also nice, but the teacher doesn't know the nature of the student. There's a disconnect there. And so when this principle is shared about the importance of the teacher knowing the nature of the student...
Well, then it's important, then there's someone that's a quality... representative of the teaching and the teacher to help administer. I'm thinking, as you asked your question, like this young fellow last night. His was a blank slate with a little, like, you know, a little bristly, but pretty open. And, you know, how do I know? Need to get a teacher, okay, but there's so many teachers out there in the marketplace. How do I know? So we went down that path. And same. His conclusion was, you take some things, you apply those things and see where it takes you. You judge a thing by its result. And yeah. You also use your discriminating power, and some things just like are fundamentally off. You know that from your previous experience. It's just fundamentally off, or you're raw gut tells you, you know, it's off. There's no, as one needs a teacher, that's a principle. we're dependent upon mercy of Krishna. That's another principle. If you're sincere, Krishna will help you come to the right position. So focus on that. What you want, the real thing. Even if you don't know exactly what the real thing is, but you don't want to be, you don't want to accept something that's not the real thing to be the real thing. Be very sincere. So even when you come to something that there's, you find someone you think is a teacher, don't close your eyes and just be a blind follower. Keep your eyes open and be very thoughtful. With sincerity in your heart, I want the real thing. Anyone else?
From what you were expressing just now, I also had another appreciation from the way that I've learned. That keeping your eyes open thing is also a way for us to judge whether or not we're actually following properly.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's two ways. There's the teacher's side and the student's side. Because the student may think, in La La Land, I'm following very nicely, when in fact they're not. So one needs to be open to the fact that I might not. Let me evaluate that in a very sincere, honest way. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.